From the IT Lab Studios, my name is Rodrigo Leal.
And my name is Kate Golden, and you are listening to the iSchool Weekly Update.
So it's a brand new year, brand new semester, possibly brand new show. What do you think, Kate?
Well, yes, that's the plan. This semester, we're hoping to change up how we produce our interviews and our podcast. We want to bring more student voices onto the program. If you have a topic that you'd like to talk about, or if you want to highlight some of your personal work, let us know. We feel that this will be a great outlet for students to get to know each other and understand what interests and skills your classmates have.
So if you're at all interested, please contact us at iSchoolWeeklyUpdate@gmail.com. Additionally, we will be hosting regular podcast office hours from 3 to 6 p.m. on Mondays and 3:30 to 6:30 p.m. on Wednesdays. During these times, we can set up recording sessions or simply meet to discuss possible program ideas. We really want to hear and share your ideas and insights.
Now, without further ado, here's what's going on for the week of January 29th, 2018.
Tuesday, January 30th. The Career Development Office is hosting the first installment of the Spring Brown Bag Lunch series titled Interview Finesse to Impress. The event will be held from 12 to 1 p.m. in UTA 1.208, and of course, lunch will be provided. RSVP on iCareers. Each Tuesday from 4:45 to 5:45 p.m., the Perspective Talk series will be held in UTA 1.208. This is a weekly talk series that features local area practicing information professionals, many of whom are UT iSchool alumni. This week's Perspective Talk centers on software development, featuring speakers from Praxent, Curb, and Women Who Code Austin. All are invited to attend. The George Washington Carver Museum Cultural and Genealogy Center is hosting Curators in Conversation, an evening with Rachel E. Winston and Ellen Garcia, co-curators of Juntos Together, Black and Brown Activism in Austin from 1970 to 1983. The event will be held from 7 to 8:30 p.m. at 1165 Angelina Street. Members of the SAAUT chapter will be attending and invite others to join. Wednesday, January 31st. The McCombs Career Expo is being held from 3 to 5 p.m. in the UT Rec Sports Center. Attend to explore full-time and internship positions that are available to you right now. The Teresa Long Institute of Latin American Studies and the Nettie Lee Benson Latin American Collection will be hosting its first spring installment of their Digital Scholarship in the Americas speaker series entitled Anti-Mexican-American Violence Under the Digital Lens. The event is free and open to the public and is being held from 12 to 1:30 p.m. in the Benson Latin American Collection second floor conference room. Thursday, February 1st. The Spring Engineering Expo, hosted by the Engineering Career Assistance Center, is being held from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. in the Frank Irwin Center. Go explore even more positions and opportunities that are currently available. If you have an event that you would like to share with members of the iSchool community, email us at iSchoolWeeklyUpdate@gmail.com with a short description. We are more than happy to share them with our listeners. My name is Molly McGee, and this was your weekly update.
Up next is an interview Rodrigo had with Associate Professor Diane Bailey, Chair of the iSchool's Diversity and Inclusion Committee. Note that this interview was conducted in December of 2017 and is not completely up to date.
Today is December 14th, 2017. I am sitting here with Dr. Diane Bailey, Associate Professor and Chair of the Diversity and Inclusion Committee for the School of Information. Thanks for joining us today.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Before we start, can you give our listeners a quick introduction about yourself?
Sure. I'm an associate professor here at the School of Information, and I'm the chair of our school's Diversity and Inclusion Committee.
So today we're talking about, very appropriately, diversity and inclusion. And today's episode is going to be covering diversity and inclusion issues within the academic sphere, and more specifically within the School of Information. So to start, what does diversity and inclusion mean to you?
We spent some time on our committee to define these terms last spring, and I'll talk a bit about those definitions and my interpretation of them. The first thing, and I think that we sometimes misuse this, is that when we talk about something being diverse, an individual person can't be diverse, but a group can be diverse. So when we talk about a group of diverse people, for example, what we mean is that people within the group have either different demographic traits, things like race or age, or different life experiences, things like their veteran status or their marital status. And then inclusion is the idea that everyone within that diverse group would feel welcome being in that group and being in those surroundings. So they would feel accepted, they would feel respected, they would feel engaged, and that their beliefs were understood, their values were understood, their perspectives were understood and valued. I think that most often we think about diversity in terms of recruitment into a group, and then we think about inclusion in terms of retention within the group. So you try to recruit to get a nice diverse group, and then you work on inclusion because you want to keep people within that group.
Awesome, thank you. This is a bit of a curveball because it's not something I emailed you.
Then I'm not to be prepared. Okay, go ahead.
Our school, our committee doesn't include the word equity, and there are several other schools that do. It's diversity, inclusion, and committee. I was looking at Michigan and UCLA. So just to include that, can you define equity?
Equity for me implies not equality, but fairness. Okay, so it doesn't mean that everything's going to be identical for everyone, although sometimes that's what it should mean, but it typically means that everything is going to be fairly done. So because you might value some things differently than I value them, if we're meeting your needs and we're meeting my needs, then you and I might get different things. So we wouldn't get exactly the same things, but both of our needs would have been respected. And I think that when we have that, we have equitable treatment. And that's the kind of thing that we, and a lot of groups that look at diversity and inclusion, one of the things that they worry about is equity. But on the same hand, they would also worry about things like recruitment and retention.
How would you describe how the iSchool community is currently handling issues of diversity and inclusion?
Okay, well, last spring we ran a climate survey to find out what issues our students, staff, and faculty felt existed around diversity and inclusion. And the results were overall pretty positive, but pointed to a few areas where we needed to do some work and gave us tons of ideas for the kinds of things the community wanted to see. So 97% of the respondents, and the respondents were 187 people, so about 59% of our community, 97% of them felt that having meaningful interactions with people who were different from them was part of the value of their experience here at the iSchool. It was important to them, which we thought was great to hear. And about 90% of the people thought that the iSchool should host diversity and inclusion events. But only 58% of the respondents thought that the iSchool was fully inclusive. In fact, 14% thought that the iSchool was exclusive. And among those 14%, we saw higher numbers for things like racial minorities. So that was a concern for us. So another area that people thought that there was some inequitable treatment was for veteran status and for students for whom English wasn't their first language, which would point perhaps to some issues with our international students. So bearing all those things in mind, we devised a set of activities that we're starting to carry out this year. I'll just point out a couple of things. How about five or six things that we've done so far this fall? We've been working on student recruitment. So the first thing that we did was we had a group, a diverse group of 18 Lamar University students come here. They visited our HCI and UX labs and met with faculty. We've been making outreach efforts to historically Black colleges and universities and also to Hispanic-serving institutions in a nearby Texas region. We're hoping to see that pan out to get increased applications for admissions to our master's program and our doctoral program in January and February. In terms of classes, because students had some concerns, or respondents had some concerns, I should say, about diverse materials in our classes, we're working to build up a library of articles and other materials that professors might turn to so that they have more representative readings or databases to use in their classes. We're going to offer financial aid this year to students who attend any conference that has themes of diversity and inclusion, or students who are going to present work on such themes at a conference that might otherwise be about other topics. And we're going to offer an award in the spring at the open house for a student whose work addresses themes of diversity and inclusion. We're organizing a book club reading, which we're pretty excited about. One school, one book. And we're going to be reading Kathy O'Neill's Weapons of Math Destruction, which we think is a perfect fit for our school. And we've already distributed more than 50 free copies of the book to master students who are eager to join us in the conversation. So that's great. We had a workshop for doctoral students for how to write diversity statements, which is something that more and more you'll see that universities are asking applicants for faculty positions to prepare. We're adding, as you know, to our website page for diversity and inclusion. We just launched that last spring, and we want that to be a really strong resource for everyone in our community. And then I want to comment on a couple of activities that happened this fall that were amazing because we didn't organize them. Like, after we did the climate survey, our students and our staff were so pumped up about what they saw that they didn't wait for this kind of faculty-led committee to start doing events. Immediately, our students organized three workshops for us around issues of disability allyship and LGBTQA+ allyship. And our IT folks organized an accessibility hackathon for our website to make it more accessible for people. And our committee had nothing to do with organizing those events, but we certainly supported them as best we could. And we were very excited to see that other folks took those on. So I think that issues of diversity and inclusion speak really well to our entire community, that people are very enthusiastic about them. And it kind of makes our job a lot easier. We simply get people motivated to do some things, organize those events, and trying to think what we can provide. So our focus for the spring is going to be on training workshops more broadly, specifically areas for faculty in training, so that we can do things like more inclusive classrooms, but also better recruitment for faculty and staff, and better admissions for students.
Great. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. This is a three-part question. And what can we as a high school community be doing to improve on how we handle issues in diversity and inclusion? And I guess to start, like at the student level, you said people are already active, but maybe there are more who feel they're not sure how they can approach handling some of the concerns they see. So what kind of avenues should they be looking at taking to get more involved in having a conversation about diversity and inclusion?
Right. We put out a call for more students, particularly master students, to join our committee for the spring. So that's a first way that folks can get involved. And I've already heard from a couple of students, and I would welcome more if by the time we do air the podcast, a student's here and want to participate. There is so much work to be done that whereas a regular committee will take one or two students as student reps, our committee could take many students as student reps, and we would welcome that. So I encourage folks to contact me to see about joining the committee. I'm also hoping that if we have enough master students or doctoral students on the committee, that students in particular would feel comfortable approaching one of their peers if there was some issue that they saw where they didn't want to necessarily be identified, but they wanted to talk about the issue, they wanted to raise the issue. And so we'll publicize those names and try to get them out there and encourage people to discuss things. And certainly I'm happy to talk with any student who wanted to talk about issues that they saw happening around the school. So that's one way. And then attending all of these events and giving us suggestions for other events would be fantastic. And there are already students who I know are moving forward to organize their own events, which is great. And we're delighted to see that.
The other two parts for this question, I think you can predict, are at the staff level and at the faculty level. Mm-hmm. So what do you think?
Well, for staff and faculty, I don't know if I'd be mistaken to group them together. So let's see how this works. For our staff and our faculty, I think we need to become more aware of how our words and actions might affect students without our appreciating it. And we get that awareness through diversity and inclusion training. And so we're hoping to organize more training, particularly aimed at these two groups, for us to become aware of the kinds of things that we say or how we say them in the classroom or when we're meeting one-on-one with a student or in small groups of students, which is the kind of thing that staff and faculty do a lot. So that would be the number one thing. The number one, two thing is it's not all having to go to school and learn about diversity and inclusion. It's also a lot of, let's do some fun events in diversity and inclusion. So things like the One School, One Book event is there for all of us. And I really encourage our faculty and our staff to get copies of the book and join the conversation. I think it's going to be a great conversation. So that's the kind of involvement I can see them doing. We need some help on our recruitment trips. The idea that we have is that it's not enough. It's a very thin beginning just to put up a table at a college fair at a university and hope that people will drop by and be interested in what we're doing. That's our kind of weakest way of doing recruitment of students. So better ways are to take 1 day or 2 day trips and really get involved, give talks to classes, give general information meetings, offer pizza, meet one-on-one with students who are interested and talk to them about how to prepare their admissions materials. And we could use help from staff and faculty in those recruitment trips, which we're going to start being to line up. And then the next level of involvement, it goes even further than that, because I think that information meetings and classroom talks make for a kind of thin, ongoing relationship. And to deepen that relationship, what we'd like to do is to say, well, we have a class on this kind of topic, which you have a class on this related topic. And maybe our students could start doing some class projects across universities together. Maybe we could invite you, your students here to campus to do a tour, to hang out with some of our students, to participate in a lecture or an event. And that takes a little bit more planning and a little bit more effort on everyone's part. And those are the kinds of things I'd love to see staff and faculty volunteering to do.
Awesome. Lastly, is there anything you want to plug, any like resources, courses that you think students should take advantage of if they want to educate themselves more about diversity and inclusion issues?
Okay. Last year, one of the things that we did was we said, let's put together a list of courses across campus that we think students who were interested in these issues might take, because our students at both the master's and doctoral level can take electives outside of our school. So we called all of the catalog list for all the other schools and departments, for everywhere that we thought there might be an interesting class. And we started to build that list. Now, of course, the problem with those lists are someone will stop offering a class or a new class will come up. And so we kind of need to keep on top of it. And that's one of the things I would hope that new members of our committee could help us do. But we have that list posted on the website. So students who get interested in this and think, well, gee, I'd like to learn more, could take those classes. We're also putting together a reading list there, so a list of a library of relevant books that students might check out. And we're looking for folks to help us build those lists. So those are the kinds of resources that we hope to put out there. We would also very much appreciate if students came forward with their ideas for how we might continue and deepen the conversation around diversity and inclusion within our school. What kinds of events should we be holding, and how should we organize them? That would be wonderful. So both educating ourselves more through external sources and then deepening our conversation within the iSchool.
Any last words? I guess a better way of asking that is any parting words.
Parting words, yeah. I guess if there were anything I would add, it's that when we started this a year ago, we started our committee a year ago, I think that all of us were a little fearful. And we were a little fearful because diversity and inclusion can ignite some pretty strong feelings. And it can make people worried that they'll say the wrong thing, okay? That somehow their ideas would be misinterpreted, or they don't know the correct language to use, and so they use some term that makes them look like a Neanderthal. And what I've appreciated about our conversations is that we start from a premise of assuming that we all mean well, okay? So we start from a point of patience and understanding, and we start to have the conversation. And certainly our committee had some difficult conversations last spring as we came to term with things that we weren't used to discussing, okay? So one example is the term white supremacy. That term came up in some of our conversations, and it was difficult at first for us to have those conversations about those terms because it meant different things for us. And perhaps on a generational basis, we had different responses to it. But we worked through all of that. And I think that as a community, we can work through any kind of issues that might come up through our use of terms or concepts and things that we need to be thinking about. You know, we're going to have different opinions. We're going to have different perspectives. We're going to have different values and ideas. That's the entire point of diversity and inclusion, okay? So learning how to have those conversations. In other words, what I'm saying is there might be some rough patches ahead for us, but the enthusiasm that I've seen for the topic gives me a lot of faith that we're going to have great conversations about these things, and I really look forward to them.
Diane, I want to thank you for joining us here today.
Thank you for inviting me. I appreciate it.
Hope to have you back on the show sometime soon.
Great. Thank you.
Thanks again to Diane for the wonderful interview, and a special shout out to all those who attended our One Book, One School event last week. So Kate, how was the break?
My break was pretty awesome. I got to go home to Florida and just have some much needed downtime. How was yours?
Fun. Definitely fun. Not resting. Family's great, but you know, you can only handle so much of them for so long. It's good to be back. I hope I don't regret saying that.
The iSchool Weekly Update is produced and hosted by Rodrigo Leal and me. Our correspondent for this week was Molly McGee. Music for each show is written and performed by me. Artwork for our show was created by Rodrigo. Special thanks to Quinn Stewart, Sam Burns, our fellow co-workers here at the IT Lab, and of course, our guest for the week, the marvelous Diane Bailey. Each episode of the iSchool Weekly Update is produced at 1616 Guadalupe Street here in the IT Lab studios. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and on the iSchool Info Portal. If you have any comments, questions, or concerns, please email us at iSchoolWeeklyUpdate@gmail.com. As always, I'm Kate Golden.
And I'm Rodrigo Leal. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll catch you up next week.